You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, August the 13th, and joining me in studio, as he so often does, Keith Alexander the Great. Keith, how are you?
Doing great. Ready for the latest installment of the never-ending saga of the decline and fall of America. Hopefully not. Hopefully we're going to be taken away from the brink by that Superman himself, Donald Trump, in, 12 scant
weeks. This is it. I was looking at the calendar. I checked my phone to see what the date was so I could get the dateline right at the top of the show. August 13th. I can remember when he descended that escalator at Trump Tower when he announced that. And we've been covering this campaign from both inside and out of his rallies since, for the last year.
It's the most incredible thing I've seen.
It's gone by so fast.
Politically speaking, his rise, his ascendancy is probably the best story I've seen in my entire lifetime. He is the perfect guy for the perfect time. He's a disappointment in some ways, but the fact that he has this package of both, he's got the wealth, he's got the acclaim, he's got the celebrity status. He was the perfect candidate to come along at the right time. He's not Southern, and he doesn't have racial baggage. He doesn't have anything like that. What he does, though, is have genuine populist, nationalistic, isolationist instincts, and he's just what the doctor ordered to try to at least get us off of this, railroad line towards oblivion that we're on right now, and get us switched onto a spur line at least.
Well, don't worry, folks. We're going to talk more about Donald Trump and the latest from the campaign trail as this program rolls on. Just a couple of quick announcements before we do get into the meat of the matter. This evening, Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, will be back on TPC to discuss his latest article at amren.com, Trump and the Atmosphere of Hate. Now, in this article, Jared bashes the media. So, if anyone wants to bash the media, they found the right show and the right hosting staff. I'm always ready to go after the media. And so we got a hold of Jared last night. He'll be back on. No stranger to this audience, of course. Jared has made as many appearances as, I guess, any guest in the history of our 12 years. Talk about how fast the year's gone since Trump announced his candidacy. How about the last 12 years we've been doing AM talk radio? That's gone by pretty fast, too. But this year, we have received more media attention than ever before. We are still rising, and we prove, even to ourselves sometimes, that we're still capable of new tricks. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're driving in your car listening to us on one of the AM affiliate stations, pull over. If you're listening to us online or on the phone or however, hold on to your seat. We have joined Twitter. We have joined Twitter. Keith, do you know what Twitter is?
All I know is that it is Donald Trump's preferred mode of communication.
Well, I knew about Twitter, obviously, because I know what Twitter. I kind of had to look it up, but I had a general idea of what it was. But a lot of our supporters have been asking me for years to join Twitter. And I like my technology the way I like my culture, and that's somewhere
old-fashioned,
somewhere entrenched in the 1950s. But nevertheless, begrudgingly, I've joined the Twitter verse, and I have to say, so far so good. We joined it yesterday afternoon, so this will be our first full day on Twitter. I had noticed, as I wrote, a handful of well-meaning but unofficial Twitter accounts using our name or the name of the show over the years, so I thought I might try it out, and we've gotten a lot of good comments, I must say. Again, still just barely 24 hours into our run on Twitter.
Any from Donald Trump?
Well, not yet, and at least not privately, right, media? I mean, you go ahead and write the story. Whatever the media says about that, it will have to be true. We'll just let them make it up like they've made up everything else this year. But listen to some of these comments that have come in. been a fan since before the alt-right boom happened, when it was just the political cesspool on Saturdays and three Ramsey Paul videos during the week. So that's a longtime listener. This gentleman writes, I'm in my late 20s and have listened to your show for the past 5 years. Glad to see you're finally on Twitter. Another still, glad you joined. Loved the show. Loved your speech at American Renaissance this year. TPC was my gateway to the alt-right. We had a lot more just like that. One particularly rewarding comment, Keith, came from a listener who found out about our show when he was in college. So we'll imagine that sometime within the last 12 years, because that's how long we've been on the radio. He was assigned to write a story about hate groups, and we were the subject of his piece. So he started listening to the show, became a fan, and is now a full-throttled, full-throated
paleo-conservative,
right? Or whatever you want to call
populist us. Conservative nationalist.
All of that and then some. And so that was, I just thought, absolutely fantastic to read.
Made a convert.
And we have received a few assists from some of our friends. Ramsey Paul gave us a nice shout-out. Hunter Wallace of Occidental Descent, Nathaniel Strickland of one of my very favorite websites, faithandheritage.com, and Magnus Soderman of the Motgift program in Sweden. He works with Dan Erickson and the great Jonas Deguerre, and we've been on their show a few times, and Jonas has been a guest on this program a couple of times. I really respect and admire the way Jonas goes about doing his work, and they were kind enough to have me on their very first program, and it was downloaded over 20,000 times. We do the AM show here. We have the internet audience as well, and the broadcast archives online. They do a podcast. Jonas had told me that it was because of the political cesspool that he was inspired to do his own broadcast in Sweden. And in that very first show, over 20,000 listeners. And, of course, they've only continued to grow since then. So it's just so rewarding to know that we're impacting our people both here and abroad. And to be on Twitter, you know, yeah, I'm a little more old-fashioned, even though I'm only 36. But we'll give it a whirl, and we'll give it the old college try. But as I said, so far, so good. If you want to join us on Twitter or follow us, to use the
parlance of the day.
or the parlance of Twitter, James Edwards TPC. Or at James Edwards TPC, if you will, if you're familiar with Twitter, as I guess everyone is but us, you'll know how to follow people. But and we even put a link to it in the show promo at our website today at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But anyway, at James Edwards TPC, we got a couple of hundred followers. Not bad for a day's work. If we can do that every day, we'll be rolling. And anyway, we are there and seeing a lot of friends and old faces and supporters over the years coming and getting on board. And so what we'll try to do is, of course, reinforce some of the stuff we talk about on the show, on Twitter. And, of course, I understand the whole novelty of Twitter is you give things to your Twitter followers that they can't get anywhere else. It's all going to be some fresh content, too. So it won't just be a retread of stuff we post to the website or talk about on the program. I'll try to give you some fresh meat on Twitter.
Like you don't have enough to do, James.
This is why, really, we're spread so thin here doing this program. Time is a fleeting commodity and of the essence. So I've just been stretched too thin to really dive into Twitter. But I'm committed now. And if I commit to something, anything worth doing is worth doing right. So join us on Twitter, James Edwards TPC, at James Edwards TPC. Follow us. And anyway, we'll get down to the – we'll get to work. We'll get to work right after this. Thank you.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, if we've learned one thing this year, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't think it's a lesson that we had to learn, but boy, it sure has been reinforced. The media loves to hate the political cesspool.
And populist conservative, authentic conservatives generally, as Donald Trump is showing.
Well, and they especially hate those of us who are on the front lines and doing our part to lead the charge. And so we talked last week for almost an hour about this plethora of stories that had come out about things we had said in the previous week's show. And this week, another little quick sampling. This week's lesson is the father of the terrorist in Orlando who shot up the nightclub is okay, but James Edwards is bad. So we all know, we saw it on the news, very little about it, as little as they could possibly get away with, but Sadiq Mateen showed up at a Hillary Clinton rally in Orlando this week to lend his support to the Democratic nominee. He is, of course, the father of Omar Mateen, who shot up the Pulse nightclub, killed 49 people, I believe it was. First of all, and you'd say, well, this is his father, this isn't the son. Yeah, I get that, but look at what they did when we went to the rally, and when we reported from the press pen at the rally in March for Trump. The entire national media melted down for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, every outlet covered that story, and we are law-abiding citizens. We pay our taxes. We're family men. We go to church. All right, but it was national, really international news. But you say, okay, well, this is the father. This isn't the son.
Ho-hum, but, you know, if you read what the father thinks.
Yes, get into that.
Yeah, the things that he thinks. He thinks Sharia law should trump constitutional law. He thinks that gays are horrible and need to be wiped out, things like this. So the fruit didn't fall far from the tree. This guy is not an innocent bystander, and his son got radicalized on the internet. If he got radicalized anywhere, he got radicalized by his father.
A lot of comments like you just mentioned, Keith. And so that brings up the first question. Who could have ever thought that a radical Muslim fanatic would be a Democrat? Hunter Wallace really nailed it at Occidental Dissent this week. If it were not for the immigration and refugee policies supported by Hillary Clinton, the Mateens would have never been able to come to the United States in the first place. Among other things, her Stronger Together in practice means 9/11, Orlando, San Bernardino, Boston, Chattanooga, Nice, France, Belgium, etc. Every 84 hours you wake up to news of the latest ISIS attack, but nothing to worry about him being there, nothing to see.
Now the real threat is James Edwards, you know. See, this is what's so absurd about the whole approach that the leftist media takes on this. They insist that white Gentiles, particularly southern white Gentiles, are the most dangerous animal in the forest, when there's all this evidence, for example, of Muslim terrorism throughout the world, how incredibly bloody and how fueled by hatred they are. But that doesn't matter. You know, don't confuse the leftist media with the facts. They have a prescription, or they've got a standard operating procedure that they're going to abide by come hell or high water, and that is that white Southern Gentiles are the lowest form of human life on earth and need to be eradicated, and James is now the official poster boy for that group.
I would encourage any, well, these media, we're going to talk more about the media. We've talked so much about the media, but we will talk more about it with Jared Taylor tonight, who really nailed it in his piece for American Renaissance yesterday. But they have no interest in knowing the truth. They don't want to know the truth. The truth is not in them. And they were busy this week dutifully making excuses for Hillary, even though, here's the thing about these presidential rallies, you don't get placed in the shot by accident. The shot is the small group of the crowd seated immediately behind the candidate where the camera is
scripted certain. And choreographed to the nth degree.
Now, they could say it was a mistake. They could say, well, somebody on her advance team made a mistake by allowing him to be seated there, but it just didn't happen by happenstance. I don't think anybody believes that.
Well, he was obviously chosen to be part of the Rainbow Coalition standing in back of Hillary.
They might have just thought he would look like a Muslim, and so they put him there. And I don't think they would have purposefully done it, but who's to say? But it doesn't matter. They're making excuses for her. One intrepid reporter even went so far as to suggest that having a known terrorist father at your event isn't nearly as bad as having James Edwards be there. And this is what he wrote. What's new on the Democrats are terrorist lovers beat? Well, the father of Orlando gay nightclub shooter Omar Mateen attended a Hillary Clinton rally on Monday. Sweet, sweet clickbait for the right-wing blogosphere and thus the national media, as if the national media is just an echo chamber for the right wing. But this is what this guy's
writing.
You
control it all like Dr. Evil on Austin Powers.
But he goes on from there, after basically just excusing this as some right wing media manufactured story that shouldn't have been a story. Meanwhile, he continues, let's talk about someone who actually was invited in italics to attend the Republican National Convention as a member of the press, James Edwards, the white supremacist who the Trump campaign had previously falsely denied was given an interview with Donald Trump Jr. Unlike Sadiq Mateen, Edwards and many others who identify with their politics were asked to participate in Trump's nomination process. So what? I've done nothing wrong. Everything that I advocate on this program is 100% true. I recant nothing. I apologize for nothing.
And furthermore,
my ideas are right for this country.
Furthermore, Mr. Mateen was invited. He, according to his own, right out of his own mouth, he said he was invited to attend this rally for Hillary, and he was placed where he sat by the organizers. So, touche. There's not. James Edwards was not put up on the dais next to Donald Trump. There's a much stronger connection between the Democrats and Omar Mateen's father than there is between Trump and James Edwards. Well, but, you know, that they're going to ignore the facts. That's just the way they operate. That's the way they roll.
Well, the bottom line is this. The media likes to pretend, I think, that Trump calls me to strategize and discuss media tactics. That's not how it is. I was invited to that rally that got so much press back in February.
Because you have a radio show.
Because, say that again.
He said he wished that's the way it was.
Oh, no, we wish that's the way it was for sure. But I was invited, we were invited, this program, this network was invited to that rally in Memphis. We were invited to the Republican National Convention because this is a syndicated AM talk radio program.
And Media Matters, none other than the leftist group Media Matters, named our show as one of the probably 40 most influential supporters.
It was the top 20 or top 25 right-wing media fixtures most responsible for a Trump nomination. They listed us. And so that's it. So we're on a legitimate network. This is a legitimate AM radio show. We're discussed in the news every week. That's why I was invited to go. And by the way, and this is never mentioned, I was also invited, this network was also invited, to attend the Democratic National Convention. We chose to go to the one in Cleveland and not the one in Philadelphia because we didn't want to go to the one that was degenerate.
And we also didn't want to go to that snooze fest with Hillary Clinton speaking. You know, yeah, why in the world would anybody pay millions of dollars to hear Hillary talk? I would pay money not to hear her talk.
Well, Bill Clinton fell asleep during her speech for crying out loud. But hey, the bottom line is these rallies, these things. Do you know how many emails I get every week from publicists trying to get their guest on the show and from candidates that would knock your socks off? The bottom line is we had as much of a right to be there as anyone else in the press, period, end of story. And the final thing I'll say about this, like all of these others, I don't identify as a white supremacist, so let's knock off the childish name-calling. If you can, and we have no reason to believe that you can, but if you can, that would be, it would make you look a little bit better because it sure ain't hurting us. We're going to take a break, and we're going to shift gears after this, so stay tuned. The political cesspool is just getting cranked up tonight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
CNN has reported that FBI special agents in charge of three field offices agreed that a public corruption investigation should be opened into the Clinton Foundation, and several months ago took their concerns to the Justice Department, which refused to allow the inquiry to proceed. The FBI's concerns were prompted by a notification received from a bank regarding what was described as suspicious activity from a foreigner who had donated to the Clinton Foundation. Bureau officials wanted to probe the possibility that Hillary Clinton was involved in a criminal conflict of interest with the foundation. CNN independently learned that Cheryl Mills was involved in the Clinton Foundation while she was employed as chief of staff to the Secretary of State. During a 2012 trip to New York, the network recounts, Mills interviewed two executives for a top position at the Clinton Foundation. The State Department insisted that this interview took place on Mills' personal time. CNN points out that emails recently released pursuant to a Freedom of Information request from the advocacy group Judicial Watch raised questions about whether the relationship between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation was too cozy. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has described the Clinton Foundation as a political slush fund. The New York Times and other media organs have reported strong circumstantial evidence that decisions made by Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State were financially beneficial to several key foundation donors, including a Canadian mining magnate. During congressional testimony last month, FBI Director James Comey refused to say whether the Clinton Foundation was the subject of an investigation by the Bureau. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, gang. So we talked at the beginning of the show about this brand new Twitter account. When did Twitter even come out? I don't think it's quite as old as this program is. It's not 12 years old. Facebook wasn't even out when we started, I don't think.
Don't get me lying. I can't tell you that.
We'll ask our tech guy, Sam. Sam will have to know when Twitter came out. Sam's on top of all of this stuff. But it's been a while, but not, I don't think, quite as... Anyway, we're the last people in this country to get on Twitter, but it happened yesterday. And even throughout the show, what little has taken place so far, the first two segments, John Maddox writes, "Hey, James, longtime listener saying hi and God bless, my favorite radio show, bar none." And we retweeted that. So, Keith, March 2006 is when Twitter came online. So we're 2 years older than Twitter, but we're finally now, I guess you could say, collaborating on that particular platform. I think Twitter has become the... Of course, we're way more popular than Twitter, so it's kind of like trading. it's become the go-to social media platform, I guess you could say. I think it transcends even Facebook now.
Trump's entire campaign is Twitter-fueled. He doesn't bother with emails. He doesn't bother with anything else.
Trump should buy Twitter. Buy Twitter. That's right. Well, so thanks to John Maddox, another listener listening now. Love to hear the other side of the news. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Since this is a new thing for us and for you, at James Edwards TPC, TPC for the political cesspool, James Edwards TPC is our Twitter handle. Send us, say, a message or retweet. You do that when you like something someone else says. You can retweet it, Keith. Anyway, do that, and we might read a few throughout the program tonight. We talked about the whole Kazir Khan thing last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. There was one thing, though, that we didn't mention, and I thought our analysis of it was very good. I think everything we do is very good, but... The one thing we failed to mention, I think this brings it all to a head, and I don't want to rehash this whole thing, but so because Kazir Khan's son died, and he was one of, what, a handful of Muslims that's died for this country, because he died, and that's, we're not taking away the sacrifice. I mean, he went and died. There's honor, there's valor in that. But does that mean that his father is above reproach for the rest of his life, that anything he says and does cannot be criticized or objectively countered by someone like Donald Trump? Obviously, again, that's not the case, but the media in the tank for the Clinton campaign, as always, in its treatment of that particular story.
Well, Hannibal Bateman wrote a good article about this. He said that basically Trump doesn't understand mainstream conservatives, or what we call cuckservatives, in America. He's a creature of New York. He knows all about liberals because they have plenty of those in New York. He is very well tuned to the whys and wherefores of being a working class white person in the Northeast or in the Rust Belt. That's where he's spending all of his time now trying to get votes. He sees that as the key to this election, and he may well be right. But what he doesn't understand is the mores of these typical conservatives throughout America, in the great flyover country, the great American desert, as the left likes to call it, between the left coast and the east coast. And he doesn't understand that there's this worship of the military, and if the sight of a flag-draped coffin just paralyzes these people, and they couldn't say anything bad about it. If Leon Trotsky was in that coffin, it wouldn't matter. You've got to have nothing bad to say about them. The left, give them credit, does understand that. That's why they brought Kazir Khan and his Gold Star family status to the fore. He was a human shield for them having this pro-immigration or pro-Muslim immigration message. And if you opposed that immigration message, then you were a terrible person who would spit on the grave of a dead American heroic soldier.
Ann Coulter had an excellent response to that in an article that you showed me at lunch a couple of weeks ago. But the bottom line is the left was baiting Trump with just about everybody they put up on that stage, from Lena Dunham, the degenerate Lena Dunham, to all the way to Khan and everyone in between. He took the bait on Khan, because the media was waiting for him to do anything, because they were, of course, the lapdogs in the media were going to use whatever he bit on and turn it into that particular story.
And they knew that he would bite on it. He is a typical New Yorker who, if attacked, will instinctively and immediately counterattack. He's like what we call in the South a blind dog in a smokehouse. He knows there's meat dangling up there, so he's just jumping and snapping at anything he senses will move. He could make, for example, a wonderful speech about his economic policy like he did last
week.
Which
was great in Detroit, and that's another thing. And I don't want to interrupt you, and I'll let you finish this thought, but the media is not at all focusing on any issue. It's all personality. Trump hurt this person's feelings. And it has nothing to do – I have not seen any treatment of the media, any coverage – really –
On
issues. And what Trump did in Detroit should have won him the election in a flash.
Yeah, but the thing is, he'll make those type of well-scripted, intellectually powerful speeches. But on the way out, if the doorman says something out of the way to him, he'll attack the doorman. You know, it's unfortunate. That's just part of the New York mores of Donald Trump. But we here in the South are much more broad-minded than we're given credit for. Even though we don't particularly like Trump's style, we overlook style in favor of substance. And the substance of the positions that he takes are instinctively just solid gold, James. At least that's my opinion.
I don't really mind his style. He's the kind of guy that you love having on your side. He's the kind of guy that if you disagree with him, you would hate him. But because he's with us on the issues, or we're with him, or however, I mean, basically, he's Pat Buchanan minus the social issues. Pat Buchanan is my ideal candidate. But Trump on everything else is great, and he does have the temperament that you have to go against these cucks and these effeminate creeps in the media. I don't mind it. Well, and
it really works for him because, quite frankly, he who hesitates is lost. Trump never hesitates. He's quick on the trigger. If something comes out, he will let you know what's on his mind about it, and, you know, God bless him, he's right almost all the time.
I want to say a quick hello to Chris, who has contacted us on that new Twitter account, listening over in Wales tonight, Keith, the UK. So hello to Chris, and thanks for the message on Twitter. But I'll tell you one thing the media is not covering, Keith, is, or again, as always, as little as they possibly can to breeze through the cycle. So now you have Julian Assange. Do we like Assange? I think this is a guy, sometimes it takes a criminal to catch a criminal type of thing.
A thief, right.
But so basically he's saying he's got these emails that proves, if I'm reading the stories correct, that Hillary used the State Department in this pay-to-play scandal that's always been alleged. There's always been rumors. He says he can prove that with some of these emails that WikiLeaks has found or uncovered. Basically, she's brokering favors and positions to foreign oligarchs via the State Department who have contributed a king's ransom to the Clinton Foundation. So this is, if true, criminally corrupt. She goes to jail for that. If the FBI would investigate it and bring about charges.
Well, look, James.
But you're saying that can't happen, right?
No, that can't happen because the FBI is not the key agency. The FBI is the investigative agency, Federal Bureau of Investigation. They investigate and turn over their information and their conclusions to the Department of Justice, which is Loretta Lynch, who is Obama's stooge, who would never do anything. She's like the dog in the RCA Victor trademark. You know, she knows her master's voice, and if her master doesn't want it, it's not going anywhere. That's the corruption of the Obama administration. So it really doesn't matter what they come up with. They could come up with a videotape of her taking money and with a wink and a nod from King Faisal of Saudi Arabia.
You know, that we had that in Tennessee a few years back. We had Operation Tennessee Waltz, and they caught a few of these career corrupt politicians and actually sent them to jail. And that's the only thing.
But Loretta Lynch was not the attorney general for that. And so,
that's the only
Loretta Lynch would say, don't believe your lying eyes.
That is the only thing that will keep Hillary Clinton's supporters from voting for her. If she is physically behind bars and incapable of assuming the Oval Office, that is the only way they will stop.
Well, look, the key to it is the media. You know, Marshall McLuhan wrote a book in the late 60s called The Medium is a Massage. And it's always been my position that the triumph of liberalism that's occurred in America over the past 70 years could never have happened if it had not coincided with the development of mass media, which short-circuits your critical faculties because it's a continuous stream on TV or on radio or on some other medium that we have that's part of, you know, the new mainstream media, not a newspaper or a book, which you can read something, and if it doesn't sound right, you can put down the printed page and think about what you think about what you've been hearing or reading about. You don't get that chance in the new media, and this way they're just pouring information into credulous minds. And because of that, unless there is some type of alternative media out there as strong as and as omnipresent as ABC, NBC, C-SPAN, whatnot, it doesn't matter what goods they get on her, as long as those organs say that she's solid gold, she's solid gold in the minds of 80% of the public in America.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Scoop Stanton will file his weekly report. Don't forget, Jared Taylor coming up. He's the closer tonight in the third hour. We're looking forward
coming
to
coming out of the bullpen.
Stay tuned, folks.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, it is that time, as it is every week at the end of the first hour, to hear Scoop Stanton's report
for tonight's broadcast. Deep in the bowels of the East Coast.
That's right, Keith, and he is going to tell us which cops have been murdered this week and a little bit more than that. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James and Keith. Well, we first need to remember Jose Chavez of the Hatch, New Mexico Police Department, who was shot and killed Friday on a traffic stop. We also remember Corporal Bill Cooper of the Sebastian County, Arkansas Sheriff's Office, who was shot and killed Thursday, responding to a domestic dispute. And we also need to remember Special Agent DeGrane Frazier of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, who was killed Tuesday involving a trying to take down a drug dealer. The officer down memorial page reports that law enforcement shootings are up 84% this year. That's 84%.
Thanks largely to Black Lives Matter, I'm sure.
Yep. So anyways, continue on. The Justice Department released a scathing report on the Baltimore Police Department criticizing the department for discriminatory practices and stopping blacks. I guess the Department of Justice never heard of reasonable suspicion, stop, question, or frisk, or seen the FBI crime statistics, or even watched an episode of the television show, The Wire, or even traveled to Baltimore. The Baltimore Police Department is outgunned, undermanned, morale's at zero, and this has been going on for years, even before Freddie Gray. And anybody who has a computer can listen to Baltimore police traffic. Those guys are working morning, noon, and night. Then finally, the NFL prohibited the Dallas Cowboys players from placing a small sticker on the helmets. These stickers were a tribute to the five officers that were killed in Dallas recently. This is the same league that did nothing when the St. Louis Rams players came out of the field at the start of the game with a hands-up, don't-shoot, buffoonish display. This is also the same league that turns everything pink in October for breast cancer awareness, despite no female players and the majority of fans male. James Keith, back to you.
Well, they're totally in the tank for liberalism. They are what Sam Francis, in his recent book that has just come out, a compilation posthumously called Leviathan, that has, basically they're cosmopolitan liberal elites. They run all of our institutions, including the NFL, unfortunately, Peter. And this is just more validation of the fact that the left is in charge, but they are a hostile elite to the average citizens of America, which are represented by these police departments.
Well, and you saw just a couple of weeks ago, the NBA moved the next All-Star game in 2017 from Charlotte to New Orleans because, God forbid, the state of North Carolina doesn't like men going into the bathroom with little girls. And so there's that. But this thing with the NFL not letting the Cowboys honor the police officers that were murdered by a Black Lives Matter activist in Texas, in Dallas itself, yes, even more at home, is just abominable. And I was thinking to myself as you even reported that, Scoop, about the whole thing about them trot out there in all pink for breast cancer awareness, which is fine, but they certainly don't do the same. They don't march them out there.
Not fine to me. I think it's ludicrous. It makes the guys look like a bunch of sissies.
No. That's ludicrous. But if they want to say, well, the NFL supports the eradication of breast cancer, but what about pancreatic cancer? I don't see them marching out there with yellow.
Isn't it amazing how even in medical research, they have to focus on curing diseases or maladies that affect their interest groups like women or gays, all the money that goes into AIDS.
And how many women and homosexuals are in either the NBA or NFL? Probably about the same number.
No, but see, all of the money goes there. You never see them curing cancer or heart disease because heaven, you know, that's taking away the right people, white Gentiles, right? So consequently, there's no push to cure those, but, you know, by golly, we're going to show God Almighty that he can't visit a biblical plague on any group. You know, we're going to make sure that AIDS gets cured as soon as possible. Breast cancer, we're going to put unlimited resources in getting that because, you know, men don't get breast cancer. So only women do.
No, that's right. And that part of it is ludicrous. But
that's what's happening. You know, as absurd as it sounds, Just step back. That's exactly what's driving medical research.
And I'll say, though, too, you know, of course, I had a grandmother that had breast cancer, so I'm fine with that, except for trotting out the NFL players in pink is ludicrous. Now, Scoop, what was the scoop out of Baltimore, if you will, because that really caught my ear also.
What's Scoop, about the police department?
Yeah,
in Baltimore.
Yeah, repeat that again. You said it earlier in your report, and I was trying to take notes, but it escaped me.
Oh, the Department of Justice released a scathing report stating that the police department needs to be retrained and how it deals with.
All right, that's right. That's what I thought you said. That's what I thought you said. So basically, what's going on in Baltimore? And I've read about this in other places as well. So Baltimore, the Baltimore cops are bad. Even though, again, this is really ironic because all of those that they tried to send up the river for the Freddie Gray alleged mistreatment were all cleared. There was no wrongdoing. But the Bartlett police officers, Baltimore police officers probably pay a little closer attention to the people who commit a vastly disproportionate amount of crime. And so by doing that, they're wrong. They shouldn't pay attention to the people who statistically commit more crime.
And that they're also ignoring the fact that the majority of the police force in Baltimore is non-white.
And Baltimore, they burn the people these officers are paying a little closer attention to, the reason that they need to be retrained, according to this governmental agency that Scoop brought out or pointed out, rather, these people burned Baltimore. They torched Baltimore. And so you would think in some random city, okay, that's politically correct. It's insane, but what do you expect in today's society? But no, in Baltimore, where everyone saw, this is the whole thing, Steve Saylor said it. I said it to Anthony Cumia when he was on this show. Political correctness is a war against noticing. We all noticed who was burning down Baltimore, and I'm sure the police did too.
And who lives in Baltimore? It's a majority black city, okay? And with a majority black police force, but don't confuse the left with the facts, it's still run by Bull Connor from 1965, you know, the police chief of Birmingham, and everybody is a honky that is persecuting these poor black people. Reality check with the Black Lives Matter movement. And, of course, Loretta Lynch is totally in the tank for whatever Obama wants to do. When he itches, she scratches.
Well, you got anything else for us tonight, Scoop?
The thing about the statistics is that, Baltimore is 63% black. But if you look at FBI crime statistics, even though they're overall the 13% of the population that commit over 50% of their crimes, I mean, you do the math. It's obvious who's committing the crime. But,
and who deserves the police attention?
Right. But here's the thing. The political cesspool, unlike everybody else, actually, we also support the Baltimore Police Department and the Chicago Police Department and every other sheriff's office, corrections department, police department, constables, marshals, fire marshals out there, because, I mean, nobody's speaking for them except us, which is sad.
They are the thin blue line that separates us from anarchy.
Well, and that's the thing. To go back to these, they get run down by the media, they get run down by Obama, they get run down by the DOJ, they get run down by the people in the communities that most need their service, which is in the predominantly black areas of any given major city. And let me tell you something, folks. If you're black and you think the police are out to get you, try living without them and see what y'all do to each other.
In spite of all of this negativity that they're confronted with every day, these police departments continue to soldier on and do their duty, and our hats are off to them.
And if we had legitimate black leaders like Jesse Lee Peterson, who is a friend of ours, I've appeared on CNN with him, he's been on this program. We're in communication with him. Jesse Lee Peterson is a great man and a great American, and I only wish that the press would put him up front and center instead of Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Ed Al. And
Roland Martin.
Roland Martin, the blowfish. Yes, and I saw Roland in Cleveland, by the way. But anyway, yes. No, Jesse Lee Peterson should be a spokesman that is put up on a pedestal to lead the black community.
He should be on the national news media at least once a week.
Well, he's just a great guy. He's a great man. I spent time behind the scenes with him on CNN and talked to him. He had his son there. Look, regardless of race, he is a great man. He's a great American. I support Jesse Lee Peterson. But no, this is not who they are putting up as their leaders, and he's doing the very best that he can, and he certainly has a large platform and a fine voice, but that's not what the media and that's not what
they want.
The
mainstream wants to prevent.
Or the establishment. I would say we're mainstream, at least mainstream USA and middle class, working class America.
The establishment press has liberal bias, and they only want liberal spokespeople.
Well, Scoop, I want to thank you for your contribution to the program tonight. I also want to thank you. And I will use this as a shameless segue to reiterate the point, because as we know, it takes a few impressions for something to stick, especially when it's new. I want to thank our very own Scoop for following the Political Cesspool's brand new Twitter account. I have reciprocated that in kind to Scoop. And yes, Scoop does have Twitter himself. In fact, a listener was just asking about that. Do you want to give out your handle, Scoop?
I think it's at Scoop Stanton on Twitter, or just type in Scoop Stanton. Also, Jim Lancia, James underscore Lancia, he's also on Twitter. So we're
that
on
is,
Twitter.
That's right. That's at least a third of the staff.
We're all Twittering.
There. We're getting there. Keith's going to get email next week, and we're really going to be rolling. We'll be back, folks, for the second hour. Stay tuned.
Pool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.